Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, a shocking and deeply disturbing story emerging from Stilfontein, west of Johannesburg, where rescued illegal miners have revealed harrowing details of survival, including claims of being forced to eat human flesh and also cockroaches. The story was broken by journalist Diane Hawker, and she joins me now to shed some light on the grim realities of illegal mining and, I guess, the desperation faced by many of those involved. Diane, welcome. I've used the descriptor harrowing. Maybe just walk me through how these shocking revelations came to light. We know that these miners had been underground for some time.
I think harrowing is the right word, Jeremy, because I think we haven't had as much information about what's going on underground as this latest affidavit has revealed. So the genesis of that affidavit is that the Constitutional Court has been approached by an organization called MAKUA, which is the Mining Affected Communities United in Action. And that organization has previously gone to the High Court with various applications. But in this application, they were able to submit affidavits from miners. And they are saying that the Constitutional Court needs to intervene as the highest court in South Africa, partly due to how bad the situation has gotten. Now, one of the affidavits from the miners by someone by the name of Mueletsi, that affidavit details quite a harrowing story of how he was able to survive underground. And that miner mentions the eating of cockroaches. He mentions drinking the underground water, which is essentially poisoned water. And he also speaks about the effects that drinking that water had on him, feeling lightheaded, feeling unwell, and experiencing severe cramping. But it was part of the only way to survive. And then he mentions that when he was in hospital, he was able to speak to two other miners who then informed him about those who were left behind eating human flesh. Now, those two other miners have also deposed to very short affidavits confirming that, essentially putting it on the record that illegal miners or artisanal miners underground are eating human flesh. And it does speak to how desperate the situation appears to have gotten underground if the miners have exhorted to that level and having to be that desperate, because there really isn't anything else for them to consume underground.
The miners also speaking, Diane, about coercion and violence. Through the work that you've done on the story, how widespread is this exploitation within the illegal mining sector? It would appear that it's getting a lot worse.
I think that the illegal mining sector as a whole has gotten quite bad over time. You know, we've been speaking about illegal mining as South Africans for a number of years. And as more and more mines have closed, more and more people have gone underground illegally to try and extract what remains of the gold there. We've heard a lot also about syndicates running these operations and there being kind of bosses underground who are controlling the situation. And I think perhaps there is an opportunity that now that these issues have come to light for the South African government to really do a deep dive and further investigate what's really going on underground in a more comprehensive way, because we are getting these bits and pieces of information. And it does seem like there's quite a lot of organization within the sector. There's quite a lot of different stakeholders. If you think about those bringing the food to the miners before the operation, the police operation began, if you think about those buying the gold, there is an element of it being quite an organized crime operation that really needs to be dealt with in a more comprehensive way.
And that's going to be difficult, because one's got to ask the question about whether appetite for intervention actually exists, because all of this highlights gaps, doesn't it, in our approach to regulating mining and combating these illegal operations.
Major gaps, Jeremy. I mean, if you look at that area where the Stilfontein mine is, I spent some time there late last year, and there are a number of mine shafts that are just open, uncovered, and apart from illegal mining, they are actually hazardous to people who could be walking in that area. There's no fencing. There's no way to stop children, for example, falling into those shafts. And essentially, many of the shafts in that area have been left unattended and uncovered by mining operations who have left. And it's not only a problem that we see in Stilfontein, but in other areas where illegal mining operations have taken foot. So there's definitely a need for, you know, the government to enforce certain elements where the companies can also do what they are supposed to do and ensure that the mines are decommissioned in a proper systematic way that would ensure that illegal miners don't go in there, but also to ensure that there's safety for the communities around there.
And what sort of response from the formal mining sector? One gets the sense that the silence has been deafening.
The silence has been deafening, but in this case, in the Constitutional Court case, the company that actually owns the mine has also been cited as a respondent. And they've asked for a bit more time to submit court papers. They've asked for time until the 15th of January. So hopefully, the Bevelsfontein mine, a gold mine company, will officially come with some sort of information as to how this situation arose. We know that they are the ones that actually contracted the mine rescue services company to start doing the surveying and to figure out how much it will cost to remove those miners. The cost has been put at 11.3 million rand. But beyond that, there isn't much information coming from them at this stage. But this case does offer them an opportunity to put on the record what their view is and what their interventions might be going forward.
And just finally, for the miners themselves who have been rescued, it's going to be difficult because they now have to face a degree of reintegration, but they are still facing potential criminal charges, are they not?
They are indeed facing criminal charges. Those who have come out have been arrested. Some who are, you know, immigrants or migrants will be deported, and those who are South Africans are most likely to face charges internally. But interestingly, Jeremy, when I was in Stilfontein, I spoke to one of the miners who had come out, and he said in no uncertain terms that if the police leave, he's definitely going underground. And that does speak to a level of desperation in that area. Because so many of the mines have closed down, there aren't many other opportunities. And when you speak to the residents around there, there's an area called Kuma. Those residents rely heavily on the illegal miners. And residents that I spoke to there also indicated that they have no issue with the illegal miners because illegal miners bring in a lot of money into that area. So I'm not so sure about reintegration, but it does seem like some of those miners would definitely pick up their tools again and head back underground if the police operation does end and they're not spending time in jail.
Diane Hawker, thank you very much indeed.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.